Okay, thank you, Jesus. This is Sunday morning, June the 2nd. Hard to fathom we're already into June 2019. The title of this is I Bore You on Eagle's Wings Part 3, and the subtitle is The Lord Maketh Rich. First scripture we're going to turn to is Proverbs chapter 10. It says, the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. I kind of like what the Amplified puts in brackets. Neither does toiling increase it. In other words, this is something that God does without man's hand being on it. The word rich there means to accumulate, to grow, or cause to make rich. Sorrow there means painful toil. The kingdom of God, just like in health and healing, doesn't operate like the world system. You know, it makes me sad today that so many in the body of Christ are so untaught and unlearned concerning the way the kingdom operates. They cry out to God and they plead with God, but they don't understand that God has a way of operation. It's like, you know, if I'm going to go to a football game and I'm going to play in that game, but I'm going to use basketball rules, we've got a problem. It's not going to work. And a lot of people think God don't love me, God didn't do what he said he would do. But the problem is that it's not that he didn't do his part, it's that the person didn't do their part. Because God has a way, and it's the way of faith. If you've seen the broadcast on Saturday, the last 2 weeks, it's been the same broadcast, by the way. But they repeated it again, and I'm going to keep getting further and further out to where I don't even have to just do it anymore. I'm so far out, you know. Anyway, no, they'll get it right. But the thing is, we cannot come up any other way. It's like the thief Jesus was talking about in John 10. You know, there's no other way. God's way is the way of faith. Go read Hebrews 11. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. How we achieve from God, it's not any different. We understand that in the natural system. We understand how credit cards work and credit works and all kinds of things works in the natural system. And we think, yeah, that's the way it is, and that's just what we have to put up with or we have to deal with. And we seem to have no problem with that. But when it comes to the ways of God, everybody's wanting to do it another way other than the way of faith, the way he set it down. Okay, the system. Work all you can, put it in the can, then sit on the can. Let's look at Luke 12. Jesus dealt with the rich young ruler, and that's the problem he had. I remember the first really financial teaching that we had, really intensive, was from John Evanzini, and that was what he said. You just work by the sweat of your brow all your life and put it in that can and sit on that can. A system that is killing, stealing, and destroying is not going to prosper you. Even if it looks like they're rich. If the person's rich, what good is it if they gain the whole world and lose their soul? Okay. Luke 12:1 says, in the meanwhile, when so many thousands of people had gathered that they were trampling on one another, Jesus commenced by saying primarily to his disciples, be on your guard against the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed or hidden, that it will not be known. Whatever you have spoken in the darkness shall be heard and listened to in the light, and what you have whispered in ears behind closed doors will be proclaimed upon the housetops. I tell you, my friends, do not dread and be afraid of those who kill the body. And I'm looking here wondering, verse 13. I'm just rambling. Verse 13, someone from the crowd said to him, Master, order my brother to divide the inheritance and share it with me. But he told them, "Man, who has appointed me a judge or umpire and divider over you?" And he said to them, "Guard yourselves and keep free from all covetousness. For a man's life does not consist in and is not derived from possessing overflowing abundance or that which is over and above his needs." Then he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man was fertile and yielded plentifully. And he considered and debated within himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to gather together my harvest.'" Now, listen to what this is saying. In the world today, this is all I hear. That's probably all you hear, especially, you know, you too. And he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my storehouses and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain or produce and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'So, you have many good things laid up for many years. Take your eat, drink, and enjoy yourself merrily.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night they will demand your soul of you and all the things that you have prepped or prepared. Whose will they be?' So was the one who continues to lay up and hoard possessions for himself and is not rich to God." And so the disciples were kind of troubled about this and anxious. And it says about, he said, "Don't be anxious and troubled about your life as to what you will eat, or about your body as to what you will wear. For life is more than food and the body than clothes." And he talks about observing the ravens and how the Heavenly Father will take care of you. So for the most part, all I ever hear is, well, they're fixing to retire, they bought them a place here, and they're going to go eat, drink, and be merry for the rest of their days. You know, our kids just went on a cruise to the Bahamas, and it looked like they were having a good time, but I was thinking about some things that, you know, to follow the Lord and to do what He's required of us, which is a very serious matter, a very imminent matter in this day and age. You know, we've got all eternity to enjoy and to not have any of the bad with it. Eternity. This is just a small place in time that if we have to sacrifice, if we have to give up houses, lands, cruises, you know what I'm saying? If we have to give up things that normal people just go run and play and do their thing, and we have to work for the master and be intent on that and get those things done, I try to tell someone in my family that just they live to travel. That's their life. And I thought, this is just a drop in the bucket. We got all eternity to see everything God's made and enjoy to the full. Free of charge, no pain, no lack. How we need to be about the Master's business. That still bothers me terribly, knowing the state of where our world has gotten to and how people are so on vacay. We got a church full of Jonas. They don't want to do it. They don't want to take that time. They don't want to know anything other than what's at Disneyland. You know what I'm saying? Nothing against them. This is just the way the church culture has evolved too. But the seriousness of the hour and what God has before us, this is just a moment compared to eternity. Sometimes when I get to feeling bad about things, I'll start thinking about how it's going to be in just a moment and how great it's going to be. Everything that's bothering you right now, everything that's come against you right now, everything that you just think, "I just can't take it anymore," it's just a moment. Because in eternity, it's going to be just the opposite. He says He's going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. That's why Paul, with all the things he went through, he said, "This light and momentary affliction." When we get there and we get reflecting, maybe looking back to where we came, we're going to go, "I was upset about that. Look at this. Look what the Father has laid up for us. I ain't no shacks up there. It's all mansions." Mm-hmm. Think about that. When you put it in perspective and doing the Master's work, getting it done. Okay. The kingdom of God says give it all away and it will come back in on every wave. That's why some people in the body are in lack today, because they don't get it. They don't get it. They're just striving to make a living and to save all they can, to send their kids through college and to take vacation every year. Am I right? Then they're in to retire, either follow your kids around or your grandkids around. I don't care to go where my kids go, I'm telling you. Now when they get their sales where they need to be, that's a different story. But you know what? Who wants that? It can't hold a candle. It is a mere shadow. We live in a fallen state down here. This earth is under a curse. Now, we're not. We're redeemed from the curse of the law, but it does not even hold a candle to heaven and the true riches. I don't know why I'm going this way. the Lord knows. I just think sometimes we get too serious and so intent that we begin to grieve about our situation, maybe what we've lost or what we've given up. Well, I'm telling you today, if you're going to do anything for the kingdom of God, there is a cost. But on the other side of that, and we'll talk about that later, but on the other side of that, the youngest baby in the body of Christ can be well and have plenty provision. There's no dues to pay. It just comes with the package. Salvation is wholeness, soundness, restoration. Nothing missing, nothing broken in your life. That's just the basic model. Like you go to a car lot, I want your bare bones model. This is what comes with it. The salvation package. All right, Ecclesiastes 11. It's hard for people to comprehend, especially when you're in a dog-eat-dog world where everything you do is based on merit, or you have to earn it. This mentality, you have to earn it to get a promotion, you have to earn it to get anything. Well, it's not that way in the kingdom of God. Ecclesiastes 11:1 says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, yes, even to eight, for you know not what evil may come upon the earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree falls toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. He who observes the wind will not sow. He who regards the clouds will not reap. Circumstances, you know, we can't. Doesn't matter. Circumstances. Is that rain? My goodness.
Started just as you said.
I know. About the cloud. If the cloud's full of rain. Hey, it must speak in here, cause it to rain. Look at that. Look at this. He observes the wind, will not sow. He who regards the clouds will not reap. As you know not what is the way of the wind, or how the spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a pregnant woman, even so you not know not the work of God who does it all. You know what, thinking about the abortion issue and people wanting to kill babies, there's not a baby that's not conceived that the work of the Spirit's not involved in it. In the morning sow your seed, in the evening withhold not your hands, for you know not which shall prosper, whether this or that, or whether both alike will be good. So, he's telling us, cast your bread upon the water. This is in the kingdom of God. This is something that we began to do, and at a point in time, it will come back in on every wave. That is how the kingdom operates. Sowing and reaping. Okay, Luke 6:38. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will they pour into the bosom. For with the measure you deal out, it will be measured back to you. This is the kingdom way. This is the operation of the kingdom of God. It's not laying up and storing up. We know that with the Israelites, that with the manna. I know many years ago, well, it's not many, 2 or 3 years ago, I don't even remember when the Lord gave me that teaching. One morning, I got up, you know, getting ready, preparing like I do on Sunday morning. He said, "Your heaps stink." I thought, "What? Your heaps stink." What happened when the Israelites disobeyed God? They gathered more than they should have, or they left it overnight. It bred worms and stank. It says Moses was angry with them. The Lord was saying, all this storing up, thinking you've got to have all these stockpiles, that stinks to me. Because He's the one that wants to give you what you need for the day. He doesn't want you looking to tomorrow and fretting. He doesn't want you looking back and fretting. Okay, Mark 10. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know what? Don't borrow trouble. We should not do that in our mind either. Don't get to thinking in the future. Don't get to thinking in the past either. Don't give the devil any ground. Just enjoy the day that you have. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I think it'll keep us out of trouble, especially mentally. And as he was setting on a journey, this is Mark 17, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? There is no one except God alone. And you know the commandments: do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." He replied to him, "Teacher, I have carefully guarded and observed all these and taken care not to violate them from my boyhood." Jesus, looking upon him, loved him, and he said to him, "You lack one thing. Go and sell all you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, accompany me." At that saying, the man's countenance fell and was gloomy, and he went away grieved and sorrowing, for he was holding great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "With what difficulty will those who possess wealth and keep on holding it enter the kingdom of God?" I know someone in a sick bed sitting over there on close to $1 million, hole up in that bed dying. What good was that? You know what I'm saying? And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "With what difficulty will those who possess wealth and keep on holding it enter the kingdom of God?" So this man, the rich young ruler, he just couldn't get it. He just could not see. I guess he'd been rich for a long time, and he had so much stock in his riches. You know, the Lord's been talking to us weeks back about kicking out all the crutches, the things that we lean on and we hold to, and trusting Him. Just as you learned to trust me with your health care, now I'm going to show you how to be rich the kingdom way. But it's going to take not relying on your own insider understanding. I mean, we get in a place where we're just about debt-free, and then the Lord has us go finance a bunch of stuff, and we're going, "Lord, we've been so ingrained in the church, you can't owe anybody anything but love them. It's a sin to borrow money." Well, come on, am I telling the truth or what? When you get this kind of stuff, when you go to seminars in the church, and they teach the same thing that the world's teaching. Well, you need your trust funds, you need your IRAs, you need all this stuff, you know. You had to prepare, you never know. Well, I think the Lord has said we can always know. But if that's all you've seen your whole life, and then you're born again, you get in the church, and they're doing the same thing, and everybody's Pete and repeat, then you're going to have a wrong take on how the kingdom of God operates. And that's why you don't see any power in the church. Because you can't take this other system and try to work it in the church. We put a pretty name on it, call it spiritual, and operate just like the world. But it ain't no power. No power. Why? We've adopted traditions of men, and they nullify the power of God. The richest man that there ever was, Solomon, probably supposed to be, he was supposed to be the wisest man too. Dumb enough to marry, have 1,000 wives, about 700 of them were foreign that worshiped idols, and they turned his heart. I'm just going, I don't get it. He had everything, wisdom, riches, honor, and they turned his heart, caused the kingdom to be rent. Okay, it's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom today. It's not a hard thing. But the kingdom of God cannot work by worldly principles in our way that we have done all of our life. The Lord's been speaking to us about same old, same old. You know what same old, doing same old? We're expecting change. You know what that is, right? Insanity. Yeah. Well, I'm not insane today. A lot of people might think so when they hear me teach, especially ones who have been in the Babylonian church. But we're coming out. Revelation says, come out of her, my people. Don't be a part of her. We see the Exodus coming out. We see people probably, I heard Mark Taylor say this in one of the prophecies he brought forth that, or in one of the interviews about one of his prophecies, about the fact that there are people all over this nation and in other nations that are in their living room. Mm-hmm. See, when we first started doing it in the living room back in 94, we were always looked at with, oh, you ain't got nothing. Well, when you get tired of that, why don't you come out here, come back to Babylon? You ain't got nothing. If you ain't got no numbers, you ain't got nothing. Well, I'm telling you, God likes Gideons. He likes Gideon armies. He'll accomplish a lot with a handful that will obey him and listen to him and operate his principles over big, massive cathedrals with many, 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 many people that just don't do anything. Gosh, I'm all over the place today. Okay, Genesis 12. I hate the devil. You know, we're not allowed to hate anybody as a Christian, but we can hate the devil. And I want to kick his, you know what, every chance I get. As many people as we can enlighten to the truth of God's word, that's just one less soul that he can torment, persecute, and hurt. Whether it be through salvation or them coming into the truth of the gospel about finances, about health and healing. Because you know, one of the biggest things in this country and the world is health care. We are not supposed to be under any kind of care. Okay, Genesis 12, 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go for yourself away from your country, from your relatives and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I wonder why he told him to do that. Because he would have done it the way they always did it. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name famous and distinguished, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you and curse him who curses or uses insolent language towards you. In you will all the families and kindred of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had directed him, and Lot went with him. I'm thinking, sorry, Lot. Ever heard the expression? That's a sorry lot. You know where it come from. Because all he did was cause Abraham trouble. All right. Chapter 13, verse 7. We see the trouble. There was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. The Canaanite and the Perizzite were dwelling then in the land. So Abram said to Lot, let there be no strife, I beg you, between you and me. So long story short, what did he do? He told, okay, let's separate, and I'll give you a choice of the land. Well, Lot chose the best, but it was towards Sodom. Okay. Did Abe have to work for it? God gave him the land. After Lot, look at verse 18. Verse 17, 14. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had left him, lift up now your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which you see, I will give to you and to your posterity forever, and I will make your descendants like the dust of the earth, so that if a man could count the dust of the earth, then could your descendants also be counted. Arise, walk through the land, the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it to you. Then Abraham moved his tent and came and dwelt among the oaks of Terebinth of Mamre, which are at Hebron, and built there an altar to the Lord. So when Lot vacated, God said, okay, now, everywhere I tell you, that's yours. That land is yours. This possesses the nation of Israel. All right. In Genesis 14, this is Lot again. A raiding party came in and took Lot and servants and their goods and everything. And so Abraham had to take servants and go after them and got everything back. And he met Melchizedek. And Melchizedek was going to, wanted to give him possessions. And this is what he said. That I would not take a thread or a shoelace or anything that is yours, lest you should say I have made Abram rich. Except only what my young men have eaten and the share of the men who went with me. So Abraham did not want anybody giving him anything. He wanted to be able to say, God has made me rich. Not men. Wasn't on the take. Okay. God made Abraham rich. Isaac learned by obeying his father. Genesis 26. Now we know in Abraham's time there was a famine. He went down to Egypt. Guess who they picked up? Old Skag. Hagar. Had Ishmael. The Muslim Brotherhood arose. Yeah, his hand will be against every man. Which I do say this today, yeah, Allah's a demon, it's not God. But on the other side of that, there are Muslim people that are peaceful and they just want to practice their religion and they mean no harm towards other people. But this other group, the Muslim Brotherhood, whom our former president was part of, all they want to do is do the Antichrist bidding. Kill, steal, destroy. That's all their agenda is. All right. There was a famine, verse 1, in the land. And other than the former famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. And the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. In other words, don't go to the system. That's what he's saying. Live in the land of which I will tell you. If Abraham had stayed put, he wouldn't have gone to the system. They wouldn't have picked up Hagar. Dwell temporarily in this land, and I will be with you and will favor you with blessings. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father, and I will make your descendants to multiply as the stars of the heaven, and will give to you your posterity all these lands, and by your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, or by him bless themselves. Galatians 3 talks about the being redeemed from the curse, and that we are heirs of Abraham. Same as Isaac. See, Isaac means laughter. This is God's way. Isaac, promise. For Abraham listened to and obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my law. So Isaac stayed in Gerar. Okay. I'm not going to read all that. Let me look right here. Find the scripture. Okay, verse 12. Then Isaac sowed seed in the land, received in the same year 100 times as much as he had planted, and the Lord favored him with blessings. So Isaac gave, and it was given unto him, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and given to his, gave into his bosom. He cast his bread upon the waters. So he didn't go to the system to try to find a way through this famine. He sowed, and it came back in on every wave. And the man became great and gained more and more until he became very wealthy and distinguished. He owned flocks and herds and a great supply of servants, and the Philistines envied him. He was the envy of the world. How would you like to be the envy of the world instead of some demented Luciferian Hollywood star? Okay, after Adam sold his soul to the devil and his system, what happened? Genesis 3. All right, Genesis 3. This is verse 17. And to Adam he said, because you have listened and given heed to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, the ground is under a curse because of you. In sorrow and toil shall you eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. In the sweat of your face shall you eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. So this wasn't God's plan. This was not God's will. Well, eventually the Israelites had a covenant with God, and they could choose which one they wanted to serve, the curse or the blessing. Deuteronomy 28. He even gave them power to get wealth. This is Deuteronomy 8:18. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. So part of being a Christian is the power and ability to attain wealth. But here I come back to what I said to you earlier. You cannot operate the fallen world system. You have to do it God's way. You're either going to work all you can, fill up your can, sit on the can, or either you're going to give it all away. Sow it. Okay, 28. If you will listen diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, being watchful to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you heed the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your beast, the increase of your cattle, the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading trough. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before your face. They come out against you one way, and they flee before you seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon you and your storehouse and all that you undertake. He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. And on it goes. Blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going out, blessed coming in, blessed you're the head, not the tail, above only and not beneath. But then, even longer than the blessings is all the curses if you choose to go that way. Ever been around people that are Christians and all they ever say is just negative about everything? Never say anything positive about anything? Blessing is the kingdom of God. The curse is Satan's system. He's the God of this world. Yeah, we're redeemed from the curse, but the earth is still under it. And those who do not operate in the kingdom They're operating in the curse. They're getting what they're saying. You know, it's amazing to me that people so much trust in the system and think, oh, there's just good in the system. I was reading yesterday in John, I think it was John chapter 7, where Jesus said, they hate me because I come against the world and its system and it's, you know, because it's evil, he said. It's evil. This natural system is evil. Who's at the root of it? Satan. We're not saying all people are evil, but most people are just kind of in a stupor. They're just here. We're redeemed from the curse. Heirs according to promise. Same promise Abraham, Isaac had. Jacob, he didn't do as well as they did, even though he did end up on his land, but then he ended up going into Egypt, and for over 400 years, here they are under bondage. Talk about being on the plantation. Slave labor. All right, we're heirs of Abraham, Galatians 3:29, heirs according to promise. Abraham walked by faith. He was before the law. God's always been about faith. He's never wanted to be about the law. Okay, Jacob messed it all up. He tried to take care of himself. You would have thought he would have observed his grandfather and his father's examples. Abe lived to be 175 years old, Isaac 180, and Jacob complained that he only reached 147. He didn't attain the years of his fathers. Well, he was off his land more than he was on the land. Because he was a sneaking, conniving little critter. And he sought to get the birthright. He stole it from his brother. He sneaky and underhanded and tried to do it the wrong way. God would have given it to him. The toil took its toll. Okay. Not only did he live under the toiling system, he led all his descendants into the toiling system for over 400 years. All Jacob's descendants ended up in Egypt under Pharaoh's lash, under the magic system, the magic kingdom. Ever wonder where Disney got that idea? Magic kingdom. In Exodus chapter 3, God laid out a plan to Moses how to bring Israel out of the world system, and that is what the Lord spoke to me in 1994 about set my people free from the strongholds of their minds. Just like Moses brought the Israelites out of Egypt, I want you to bring my people out of the strongholds of their minds. We live in a Babylonian system at this time. Things are changing, but really, the important thing is the Babylonian system has to come out of us. That's why when the Israelites went in to take the land, most of them didn't make it in. They could not come out of that old way of thinking. All right, God wanted to give them the kingdom. Okay, we're going to look at these. This is Exodus chapter 19 because it's the foundational scripture really for this teaching. God was good to them and did everything in the world he could to try to get them to trust him. I've learned that just giving stuff, giving stuff to people does not change them. Just do that with your kids. We see a generation of kids that have just been handed everything. They couldn't find their rear end with their hands. And if it ain't on a social media page, they don't know what to do. They can't even count or add or subtract. They got to have a calculator to do it. Exodus 19:4. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice in truth and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own peculiar possession and treasure from among and above all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, set apart to the worship of God. These are the words you shall speak to the Israelites. Then 1 Peter 2:9, basically says the same thing. We have the same mandate that they did to go and possess. Now, the Lord knows how to rescue the godly out of temptations and trials and to keep, that's not the one. I guess I wrote it down wrong. This talks about a holy nation. Do you know where that is, Danny?
You had it right, 1 Peter. You must have been reading.
I'm in 2 Peter. Okay, 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's what God has wanted since Genesis 1. Toil is works. Example. If the Lord said to you, go be a greeter at Walmart, He will make you rich in it. If He tells you not to work, He can make you rich in it. It's not about your toil. Okay, 1 Samuel 15. Verse 22, Samuel said, has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as idolatry and teraphim. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He also has rejected you from being king. So what's He saying to us here? The Lord says, you go work at Walmart or you stay home or whatever you do and I'll make you rich. For us to think, well, if a man don't work, he don't eat. So I better go hit it. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Well, this system is a magic, manipulated magic system. Jannies and jamborees. The world system. The devil has his tricks, his sleight of hand to try to fool you. All that glitters is not gold. We can't substitute brass for gold and expect to get the gold. We can't. All right. Satan's the god of this world. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. What did Jannies and Jamborees do? Witchcraft. I looked in on a, it was one of the Cyril Brain posts that talked about Jannies and Jamborees and about how they use their magic. You know, like, yeah, it grew from there. That's what this system is under, like it or not. I don't really care, but I believe it's the truth, you know? And we've got to get our eyes open to that truth. Okay. And Jackie, the Lord kind of brought this up as I was studying here. Now maybe you can understand about what your own toil does. If you would have just gone with His simple instructions, you maybe could have avoided some of them. And I think He's given you some simple instructions when you first got here, maybe before you got here. And if you'd have gone with those, then you would have not had the toil you've had. But you're learning, He'll make a way. But that's what He's trying to teach all of us. Mm-hmm. Not to, we've all done it, explain away or put our own interpretation on what we think God is saying or what we think God means. But usually God just means what He says. He usually speaks pretty cut and dried, and it's amazing how we fall all over it, myself included. What He leads you to do may seem very modest, but it leads to riches and honor and life and rest. See, He's trying to just get us to do a simple thing. He'll say, do this simple thing. But I can, I've got all this. I've got all that. But no, I got all of that. And He's thinking, I know that. And part of fulfilling that's in the plan. But if you'll get in the plan and you'll obey the plan, guess what? It'll happen. But if we try to take it in our own hands and work it in the system, this is what we've always done. Same old, same old. This is how I was raised. This is how I've been taught. This is how I've been for 40 years. And this is what I'm going to continue doing. Here we come back to insanity again. Does that make sense? All right, Proverbs 3. Like I said, it's a little different today. Sometimes I amaze myself what I say and what I get up and do and how I feel. And it's like I'm feeling God's emotions up here. And sometimes it's a little sarcastic. I'm not trying to be. I'm really not. I'm just going, what, I said that? Why did I say that? You see, because I wanted you to say that. Okay. Proverbs 3:13. You know what? When the disciples were out in the boat, he'd say, where is your faith? He's asleep in the boat, and they're going, ah, Lord, help us, we're going to die. He wakes up, rebukes the wind, where is your faith? Where have you been? Didn't you know? Didn't you recognize the loaves and the fishes? Didn't you see? There I go again. I'm sorry. All right. 3:13. Happy is the man who finds skillful and godly wisdom, the man who gets understanding. For the gaining of it is better than the gaining of silver, and the profit is of it better than fine gold. Skillful and godly wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you can wish for is to be compared to her. Length of days is in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold on her. And happy is everyone who holds her fast. You know, we need to get a different take on things. I mean, all these things, when we follow God, when we get His wisdom, I'm thankful to God that He has taught me over the years, that He's trained me to not move out independent. I mean, sometimes I've waited years for answers and just couldn't do the other, just couldn't just do what everybody else does, just go to the doctor or just go do this or go do that. And I just wait and wait and wait, and I might be in pain, but I just hang on, hang on, hang on, hang on, hang on. And then one day there's that wisdom. That's the way it happens. It don't always come instantly. Sometimes it does come quickly. Usually when we're resting and we're not in care, the wisdom just flows. When we're all wrought up about things and seeking answers and toiling to get an answer, it's like, Lord, where are you? The system, tells you got to get a job to have this or that, and to toil with blood, sweat, and tears. That's the way the system is. It's like climbing the corporate ladder, dog eat dog, under the whip, just like the Israelites. You know what's hard about thinking you don't work and the Lord makes you rich? You just give. It's just that we've had it crammed down us for so long, we have to just hit it. From the time we're 16 years old, we've got to get a job, we've got to hit it, we've got to pay for college, here we go. And it's a system that, and most people end up doing that their whole life, and they finally retire, then die. Like the man that built his barns. Said, you fool, this night your soul will be required of you. So what's all that you stored up? Who's going to get it now? All right. No whip. The Psalms say He leads us. Do you trust the shepherd? Psalms 23. Talks about He leads us. This is to be led. This is something that we lead. That's works. I can't tell you how much faith stuff is works. And I'm a faith person. I ought to know because I've worked it a lot. I've worked it. We can't get these ideologies about faith in our minds and do our formulas to try to get it done. That's why the Lord's been saying, the Word is what heals you, not you're spending 2 hours a day confessing, or not you praying in the Spirit 4 hours, or not you doing all these things. He sent his word to heal. It's a rest. It's about planting seed and resting and watering until the harvest comes. Out of self-care into his care. Okay, let's look at Matthew 11. Well, 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. Now, if the Lord tells you to work a job, you work a job. This is all about being led by the shepherd. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is wholesome, and my burden is light and easy to be borne. Okay, I don't want to struggling, toiling. Start where you are, repent if necessary, and move forward. Whatever he says to you, do it. Everything you will ever need is at your disposal. The kingdom of God is at hand. Time for the prodigals to come home, not I do it myself. I do it myself, I do it my way. Don't tell me nothing, I already know it all. Time for the prodigals to come home. What happened? The prodigal left father's house, he went out there, toiled, lost all his money from loose restraint living. He finds himself in a pig pen feeding the pigs. No food, no place to go. He remembers father's house. Well, he said, even the servants are provided for in father's house. So he takes off, father sees him, runs after him, puts on the best robe, the ring on his finger, kills the fatted calf. When they come back to father's house, look out. Provision. Full provision. He didn't even ask him to say he's sorry. He just embraced him like he hadn't done anything wrong. There is provision in Father's house. All right, Luke 11. Nine. Whatever you need, he didn't say go out and work for it. He said call it in. So I say to you, ask and keep on asking, which is calling for, and it shall be given you. Seek and keep on seeking, you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks and keeps on asking receives. He who seeks and keeps on seeking finds. To him who knocks and keeps on knocking, the door shall be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? If he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, evil as you are, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask it and continue to ask Him? Or whatever we ask for, whatever we call for. So He's better than earthly parents. In fact, in this day and age, it's certain things that we accuse the Father of, as earthly parents we did, we'd be in jail. Yeah, the Lord made me sick to teach me something. The Lord had to break my leg to do that. I heard the lady say this one time, their house burned down. Yeah, the Lord had to burn my house down for me to see some things. Luke 12:32. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Length of days is not in your hands, per se. Diet, exercise, all the world's ways. You can just tune in before my program. Usually they've got exercise stuff and all this healthy stuff, supposedly to make you have a longer life. Well, I say it's your obedience. Obedience is what causes length of days, riches and honor. All right, Deuteronomy 30. To obey is better than sacrifice. Verse 19. I call heaven and earth to witness this day against you that I've set before you life and death, the blessings and the curses. Therefore choose life that you and your descendants may live. And may love the Lord your God, obey his voice, and cling to him. For he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham lived 175 years. Isaac, 180 years. Jacob, 147. Didn't quite make it. Job, after all he went through, said he lived another 140 years and had 10 more children. And he saw four generations. We're soon to see third generation. I said, we'll see that babies or babies. We'll see their generation. I'm coming. I'm going to take it. Don't give me none of that 137 years Ishmael and 147 Jacob. Don't give me that. Lord said to me, don't you even think about coming home until you're at least 100. I'm thinking, okay. Okay, it's all about our mindsets. Okay. Success is not based on your works, but Joshua 1:8 tells you about what success, how to be successful. This is what God told Joshua, because Joshua was going to go in and take the land. He told Joshua that because Joshua would listen to him. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. That's obedience, right? For then you shall make your way prosperous, then you shall do wisely and have good success. You know what? I want to be like Sarah, not having many children. I'd rather have one child and know God instigated it, God ordained it, than to have a whole house full of kids that God never ordained. Okay, Joshua got a hold of this, and look what he did. There's a couple of instances here in Joshua 10. This is 10:12. He changed things. This is why we're the power behind the president, because we're changing nations. We're changing laws. Rules, regulations, and laws change to our advantage when necessary in the name of Jesus. We speak what we want. We don't react to what we see. We change it by what we desire. We speak it. Joshua 10:12. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord on the day when the Lord gave the Amorites over to the Israelites, and he said in the sight of Israel, "Son, be silent and stand still at Gibeon, and new moon in the valley of Ajalon." And the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the nation took vengeance upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of the heavens and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. There was no day like it before or since when the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Well, they didn't know it, but Adam, when he called the animals, whatever he called them, God said, that's what they are. We've got that same ability. All right, 14:6. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua and Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning me and you at Kadesh Barnea? 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to scout out the land, and I brought him a report as it was in my heart. But my brethren who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt, yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, surely the land on which your feet have walked shall be an inheritance to you and your children always, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while the Israelites wandered in the wilderness. And now behold, I am this day 85 years old. Yet I'm as strong today as I was. It's not about age. Yet I am as strong today as I was the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so is my strength now for war to go out and to come in. So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke that day. For you heard that how the Anakim were there, that the cities were great and fortified. If the Lord be with me, I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said. So here we've got an 85-year-old man that was driving giants off his land. In the world, we know what they push. Sunday afternoon is probably the worst as far as old people commercials. I mean, if you listen to that crap, Psalms 92 says you'll be full of sap and fruit producing even in old age. Well, let me just read that. It's too good to just paraphrase. This is Psalms 92. Okay, verse 12. The uncompromisingly righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. They shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap. That means you don't look wrinkled. And verder, to show that the Lord is upright and faithful to his promises. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. You aren't put out to pasture in the kingdom of God. When you finish, you just leave. Psalms 103. There are so many good ones. I hope y'all are reading these longevity scriptures every day that I gave you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all my iniquities, who heals all my diseases, who redeems my life from the pit and corruption, who beautifies, dignifies, crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies my mouth with good, so my youth renewed is like the eagles. So God supplies in his kingdom benefits. You don't have to go get a job with good benefits to get by. Okay, so let's look at some Proverbs here. Proverbs 10:27. The reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord prolongs one's days, but the years of the wicked shall be made short. Proverbs 12:18. There are those who speak rashly like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. In other words, there's a miracle in your mouth. Proverbs 14:30. A calm and undisturbed mind and heart are the life and health of the body, but envy, jealousy, and wrath are like rottenness of the bones. That's that dog-eat-dog place. Dog-eat-dog. Just always just up and what's going on at the office? Always in a whirlwind. Or your kids or whatever. Okay, Proverbs 22:4. The reward of humility and the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. The more in line we get with God's plan, the more manifestation of this we will see. Okay.